Isaiah 53 this afternoon. I appreciate the preacher inviting me and letting me come to speak today. And really, I want to thank you because you're easy people to preach to. That means you've really been preached to already before I ever got here. And you all be thankful for that. He's been a blessing to me. I first met him when my youngest brother was in the hospital and didn't have that long to live, but my wife and I came to church here on a Sunday morning, and he found out why we were here and all that. On Monday morning, he was in the hospital to see my youngest brother. And I know he went several times after that as well. But out of the preachers, after we had moved back up here, I'd ask preachers if they'd recommend me so I'd see if I could line up some places to preach. As far as I know, he's the only preacher that's tried to help me since I come back. And I told him that it's been a good while back. But I told him if he ever needed anybody to fill in when he needed to go off or do something, I don't care what I'd have planned, I'd cancel my plans and come and fill in for him. And he's been a blessed friend. Isaiah 53, I'd like to talk to you a few minutes this afternoon, four reasons why Christ had to suffer upon the cross. Father, bless this the Word of God as we read and try to speak with it and through it this afternoon. We're accountable unto you, Lord, and we realize that every word in this book is profitable if we use it right. So help us to look in it and get what you would have us to know. In Jesus' name and for His glory, amen and amen. I think about the blood and him going to Calvary and shedding his blood. But I'd like to say in the very beginning, we're not only washed by the blood, but we are cleansed by the blood. Now, I put some suits in the cleaners the other day, and the reason I put them in there is that I'd already tried to clean them myself, and it didn't work. And they had some spots on them where I'd missed my mouth and when I was eating, and so I had to take them somewhere where they could get the spots out of them. I didn't want to come in and be like a spotted leopard when I walked in the door. But here it is, and I find as I read and listen and try to study that not everybody sees the Scriptures as we do, but a lot of folk are missing the blessing because they won't even pick up the book and read it for themselves. And so we need to think about that as we go through the week. And I guess, really, the best diet that any of us could ever get on is a diet of the Word of God. Somebody said the other day, said, it looks like your clothes is tightening up on you, preacher. And I said, well, no, I think the washing machine is just drawing them up. And so I'll leave it there. But I'd rather for them to fit a little tight than I would for it to look like four families have moved out of the seat of them. And so I'll try to give you what I know that God would have us to know from the Word of God this evening. And so let's, I don't know that I'm going to read all the chapter, but I'll read a portion of it anyway. Who have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet he did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Let me stop there just a second. I know that a lot of folk use that verse and that phrase in that verse to talk about divine healing. Now, whether that is true, that's up to you to decide in your own life. But I think the stripes that he's talking about here is the stripes that he received that you and I might have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. All we like sheep have gone astray. And one reason that phrase can be in the Word of God is that when a sheep grazes, it don't generally raise its head. It puts its head down and starts eating. Whatever's in front of him, he'll run into it, fall into it, because he's not looking where he's going. I met a few Baptists that done the same thing. And so here we are. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. You kill a goat and he'll bleat when you're taking him to the chop block. Not the Lamb of God. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I'll read verse 8 and quit there. He was taken from a prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Four reasons why Christ had to suffer on the cross. Many of us have already gone through sickness and trials and tribulations. But none of us have gone through what Christ has gone through. We'll never go through as bad as it may get. I've had a number of things that happened to me over the years. And I found out, Brother Robert, that while I was going through the valley with those things, I found out that I had enrolled in a school that I never thought to enroll in. When we're going through trials and tribulations, that's God's Bible school for here on earth. And we need to pay real attention to what God is doing. I can assure you about me, I don't know about you now, but I've never gone down in the valley so low that I didn't come out on the other side better off than I was when I went in. Always. That doesn't mean that there might not be some things left here or left there, but it means that I'm better off in Christ because of the experience that He's carried me through. I know what it is to have cancer, and some of you know the same thing. I know what it is to have other things. And I was preaching one Sunday night. I think I've mentioned this before. And I had an ulcer to perforate in my stomach and almost bled to death laying there on the platform. But God was good. When they got me to the hospital in Louisville, Kentucky, the doctor told my wife, I said that I wouldn't get my hopes up too much. I wouldn't even give him a 50-50 chance to leave here alive. But 6 weeks later, I was at home. 2 weeks after that, I was preaching again. But God's been good. And He did not do that because I was something special. He done that because I was one of His children. He had bought and paid for me. And the first thought is that this afternoon, He suffered on the cross because of man's sin. Now, I ain't going to itemize a whole lot of things, but I don't think that's necessary with the crowd that I'm preaching to this evening. But sometimes, we don't pay attention to what we're reading to. A lady was talking to me one day and she mentioned something about the Word of God, and I said, that's not what it says. That's part of it. But Romans chapter number 3 tells me all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you and that's me. Probably me before you. And so we need to think about that. The Bible describes sin as a transgression. Transgressing the law of God. I noticed this morning when I got ready to get on the ramp of 75 in Forsyth that there were several cars there ready to help people who was transgressing the law of God. I believe on the side of the car it said Georgia State Trooper. So if they transgressed the law, they were speeding. It looked to me like everybody was doing 85, 90 miles an hour. And I didn't see but about one or two cars that they had pulled over. But they were there for a reason. And we have certain passages of scriptures that's in the scriptures for particular sins, particular reasons, and those reasons because of sin. So sin is anything that transgresses the law of God. Sin is really trying to step over sin. Nobody won't ever know it. I'll get away with this. 9 times out of 10, you won't. Rick and I were eating this afternoon over at S&S. Out and right across from us, there was a black couple. They were dressed better than me and Ricky. But I noticed something that they bowed their head and prayed over their food. So when we got through and got ready to leave, I said, Ricky, I'm going to step over here and say something to these folk. And he later asked me, why did I go over there and talk to say something? I said, I saw them when they bowed their head and prayed over their food. And I said, it's a way of witnessing. I stepped over to the table and I introduced myself. And I said, I'm a Christian. And I noticed that you folk bowed your head and you prayed over your food. I just want you to know that you've really been a blessing to me today. And they couldn't thank me enough. Now, I would have cheated them out of a blessing, and I would have cheated myself out of a blessing if I had not obeyed God and stepped over there to say something to that couple. Matter of fact, the lady couldn't quit thanking me enough. I mean, she gave me enough thank yous, I could make the next week out with thank yous. And that. But why would I want to transgress the law of God and step over sin when I can try to be a blessing to somebody and be a witness to them at the same time? And so here it is. And then I find that there's a boundary between good and evil. And most of us know the difference between good and evil. And, there's a little voice in us sometimes when we go to do something. And if we're sensitive enough, it seems as that little voice said, don't go there. Don't do that. Just don't go there. And then you wonder, fine. Have you ever been driving down the road and you missed, you cut off where you were supposed to turn off and get there quicker or whatever, but you missed that and you wonder why in the world you missed that. And later on you turn the news on the radio or you turn the news on the TV or whatever, and there'd been a real tragic accident the way you normally would have went. There's that accident. You would probably have been the one who was in that accident if you'd have went that road. And God knows how to steer us around that to keep us from stepping over these things or trying to step around them. And then I find that the sin is something that has a boundary between good and evil, as I said. And then it's a departure from doing that which is right. And we know that. And as you woodsmen would know, you hunters would know, sin, you know, that deer, that rabbit, or whatever you're hunting, you point the gun in the right direction, but you don't have it aimed right, and you miss the mark. And that's sin. We always miss the mark with sin. So first of all, I tell you, that He suffered on Calvary because of my sin and your sin. Secondly, He suffered on there because of hell. I don't have time this afternoon to go through all of these verses, but I'll give them and you can look them up later and find out what they're saying. But I find in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, a verse that tells me why and all of those kind of things. I find it also in John chapter 3 and verse number 19. I find it in Psalm 86 chapter number 15. And I find it in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 11 as well. Now, I find from the beginning of the book to the end of the book, God has put up a detour sign called Jesus. There is no reason for anybody to go to hell except they make a choice to go. I'm going to repeat my statement. They make a choice to go. I'm going to have my way. I'm going to do my thing. I don't care what anybody says. And I just don't believe the Bible, so I know I'm not going to hell. No, you don't know that. Because God's already made the declaration you are going. And so you need to think. My mother always taught us youngins, you need to think three times before you speak. And I said to my mother one day, well, if I think three times, I won't say anything. She said, that's the idea. So here it is. And ladies and gentlemen, hell is more real than me standing on this platform. It's coming about. And have you ever heard anybody say, I call hell at work today? Mm-hmm. Robert and I were talking just a while ago, and he was telling me some experiences about working at a certain place, and and what the coach asked him to do. And I remind Purdy Standy too, because he knew that he would be trying to step around what was right if he done what they asked him to do. And so, at least he's done one good thing in his life. So we go. He suffered because of hell. I was told one time that everybody had a Social Security card. That was the mark of the beast. And we were going to go to hell because we had a Social Security card. That might be true for that person that told me that, but it's not true with me. I got a Social Security card, and I got a lot of other cards. But the other cards that I got cost me money. I went to have my oil changed the other day. I had to go out of town for something, and I need to get my oil changed. And this place that I took it, they tell you on Tuesday, if you're a senior citizen, you get a $5 discount. That's really a discount. I got ready to pay the bill, and they told me how much, and so I paid it. And then I got to looking at the bill, and it did. It showed what he gave me, a $5 discount. But about three lines down below that, it said $4.45 surcharge on this card. They gave me a $5 discount, but they took it away at the same time. It's awful quiet. Some of you don't get that. But I find out that there's a lot of companies putting a surcharge on your credit card just because you're using it. By the way, if you don't pay it off at the end of the month, you're gonna pay somewhere between 22% and 30% interest on your balance on that card. I think really, if we could do it, the best thing we could do is cut them up and throw them in the garbage can. Because they're going to collect one way or the other. So I'm telling you, it's there. I know that he gives us a mark of the beast to tell us about anybody who wears its number, whether it's in the forehand or in the palm of the hand or whatever, you're already marked. For Christ and the things around the Lord Jesus are your mark for hell. Thirdly, because without blood there is no remission. He had to go to Calvary. Now, I may have said the last time I was here and spoke, when they took Christ, if you remember the night before, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed that the Lord might deliver him from what was about to happen. But then he carries on out the thought, nevertheless my will, but thine be done. Why? I asked the question this afternoon. Why did he do that in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed that night? The only reason that I can find in the Word of God is the major feast was to be performed the next day. And he knew if they killed him that night that he was going to miss what God had planned before the foundation of the world for him to do. The Lord Jesus knew that he was going to have to pay the price even before the earth was ever created. Before this planet was ever created. That was settled between Him, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost. And so here it is, and he's doing it. That's a fascinating thing to me. Have you read through the book of Hebrews more than one time? It sure is great to see how God takes it from the old covenant over here and show why the old covenant had to be done away here so you and I can enjoy the new covenant today. Because if he had not fulfilled the word of God here on the cross of Calvary, you and I would not be enjoying the blessings of the new covenant over here. It's as plain as a nose on your face. And so he gives it to us there. And Matthew 26 would tell you the same thing, basically. And I read some in the book of Hebrews last night and about got to preaching to myself. I probably needed it. I should probably have went ahead and preached to myself. But here it is. But without, well, let's just, if you don't mind, turn to Hebrews chapter number 9. Let's see it in black and white. Look at verse number 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
How? By the blood. Excuse me. Look at verse number 22. And almost all things or by the law, purged with blood, and without the shedding of what? The blood is no remission. Look at verse number 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. Think about it. Without the shedding of the blood, without the shedding of the blood, without the shedding of the blood. I find also this afternoon that he suffered on the cross of Calvary, but he was to glorify the Father. He was to glorify God. Look what he says in verse number 4 of Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet he did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was unto him, upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. If he had not done that, he would not fulfill the law of God. He would not have purchased salvation for you or me. And so he came to glorify the Father as well as pay the price for your redemption and my redemption. Turn with me to the book of John, if you would. First of all, John chapter number 13. Verse number 32. If God be glorified in him, talking about the Lord Jesus, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. That's not the only time he said something like that. I find again, look at John 15 and verse number 8. John 15 and verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be, what? My disciples. Again, look in John chapter 17, and we'll find it again. In John chapter 17, in verse number 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest to me. That's prior to him going to the cross, that he makes that statement. Let's look at another verse. Look at chapter 21 and verse number 19. He said, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God, and whom he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. I read in other places that God said, when Jesus, John the Baptist, was crucified, was preaching, and he baptized the Lord Jesus, I read where he said, the Father said, this is my Son, whom I am well pleased. Think about that. I mean, over and over and over. I go back to Genesis, and I find where we were in verse number, what, chapter number 3 and verse number 15. I believe you used that this morning. We find that Christ is coming. He's going to be the Redeemer of the world. I catch myself when I'm praying sometime, saying to the Lord Jesus, Lord, I want to thank you for being my Savior. Lord, I want to thank you for being my Redeemer. I want to thank you, Lord, for being my Comforter. I want to thank you, Lord, for being my friend. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I am going to rejoice in it. If I can step on the devil's head and not get slapped up by the side of the head by the devil, because the Lord had put a shield about me, I'm going to do it. I want to glorify the Father as well as the Son. And I'm glad we got the Holy Ghost of God that's there to urge us on, to push us on, just to stand up and say, praise ye the Lord. I asked the musician when she played the introductory to starting tonight, would she play that song? Christ receiveth sinful men. I'm glad God doesn't see my sin. I'm glad He doesn't see yours if you're saved. Old John Jasper, the black preacher, during the Civil War, he'd get to thinking about the Lord, and he'd get to shouting on his job, and his boss couldn't handle that. And so his boss come over there one day and said, John, we can't have this anymore. We're not going to put up with it anymore. And here's your book. I want you to take this book home and read it. And John Jasper took the book home. It was a geography book. And he read that whole geography book that night. And the next morning he got on the job, and all of a sudden he began to think about what he'd read in that geography book. And then he found out how deep the ocean was as he read. And then he thought about what he'd read in the Word of God, that God had put his sin as far as the east is from the west, and as far as the depths of the ocean. And he had a glorified fit. And his boss came over and said that, John, I told you you couldn't do that on your job. Did you read that book? He said, yes, sir, every word of it. He said, well, why are you shouting then today? He said, that book you gave me told me the sea was more than 5 miles deep, and God had put my sins that far away, and as far as east is from the west. And glory to God, I just want to praise Him anyhow. And so that's where we're at in this thing. And we ought to think about it as we think about, sir, listen, we're living in some hard times in America today. We're living in some sad times in America today, but we don't have a better day to serve the God and glorify God than we have right this moment. He's alive. He's well. He knows where you're sick or well. He knows where you're happy or sorry. And I didn't say you were sorry. I said you were sorry. Okay. And I'm simply saying to you that He's waiting for you to praise Him because He praised the Father when He went to Calvary and shed His blood that wicked, low-down, good-for-nothing sinners like you and me could be saved. That's what it's all about. That's what Calvary's all about. Are you saved? I could conclude my message like this. I'm going to heaven when I die. I know that. I have the promise of the Word of God. My question is, are you going to meet me over there? Are you going to meet me over there? Let's stand together.